Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I tell you, I just, there's something stirring. And I believe God has a message, a word for many of you today. And if you have your Bibles, we find ourselves this morning in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. I want to welcome all of you on Facebook. I want to thank you, our viewers on Facebook. You've been so faithful over the months. Instagram, we're so appreciative of all of you joining us. The social media. And I believe that God has something special for us this morning. Acts chapter 8, we'll begin verse number 5. I want to thank the praise team, the worship team, for a tremendous time of worship and praise this morning. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Notice he preached Christ unto them. And the people were one accord, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing, seeing miracles which he did. Chains were being broken. For unclean spirits crying out, loud voice came out of many. They were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame and were healed. They were healed. And there was a great joy in the city. But there was a man called Simeon, which before time in time. We can move on from this, George. We go to verse 26, please. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is in the desert. Notice the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He's reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit, notice the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip, notice, ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a dumb lamb or a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Notice, here's our key verse. And then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all your heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, notice, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Imagine, the Spirit caught Philip and transported him, took him away. Many have looked at this scripture and said, that's impossible. How does it? Well, if that's impossible, then we must believe that the splitting of the Red Sea is impossible. If that's impossible, then we must believe that manna falling from heaven from nowhere is impossible. If that's impossible, then Jesus couldn't have opened up the blind eyes. If that's impossible, then no dead man could have ever risen. If that's impossible, but it is possible, my friends, for God, all things are possible. In our story, in our text, we notice a man by the name of Philip. He's simply an evangelist. He's a man called of God. And in the text, we notice that Philip is running. He's running after this chariot. He's running after this man who the Bible calls a eunuch. A eunuch is someone who's not married, who willfully chooses not to marry, who's committed to a purpose, a vocation, and he's dedicated to that. He's not married. He's a eunuch, and he's in charge of somebody's business affairs. And there he is. Philip is running after this man, this chariot. He doesn't know who he is. He's told by the Spirit to run after this man, to chase after this chariot. And that isn't easy to do, is it? Imagine you're running after a chariot. Your chariot is fast. There's a horse. A man can't run as fast as a horse. What's going on? The Spirit is doing great things. He's giving Philip the capacity to run as fast as a horse. He's giving Philip supernatural strength, because God's got a purpose. God's got a mission. God's interested in somebody, and he's sending Philip to speak to this man who's in the process of reading a text that doesn't make sense to him. He's reading from the book of Isaiah, and God randomly takes Philip, though it seems, out of Samaria. Now watch this now. Philip's in the process of preaching revival. There's a revival taking place in Samaria. A revival. Imagine. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this revival, Philip has no idea what's going on. The Lord speaks to him and tells him, I want you to go to Samaria, out of Samaria into the desert. From revival to desert. Because I got a mission for you, Philip. Somebody is hungry. Somebody's thirsty. And I want you to go and tell him what he's searching for. I want you to give him the answer. And so God speaks to Philip. Just try to visualize this scene. It just doesn't make sense. He's in the middle of revival. Isn't this where God wants you to be? But somebody's crying out in the wilderness. And he sends Philip to meet this man. How did Philip know? Why would Philip go to this obscure, dry place while he's preaching the gospel? People are getting saved. It just doesn't make sense. How many times have you heard me speak, my friends? The things of God don't make sense. Most of the time when God is doing, I can hear people, but this just doesn't, how can it be? It doesn't make sense. Why did this? And it happens over and over again. Why? Because God is God. Why? Because he's in control. Why? Because his ways are not our ways. Why? Because God sees something that you might not see. And he sees and he hears somebody crying. Somebody searching. For the Bible tells me in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the land, searching, seeking those whose hearts are hungry, whose hearts are made perfect, whose heart is searching, he's seeking. Is there somebody looking for me? Is there somebody searching? Is there somebody who's hungry for truth? Is there somebody who needs me? And he sends Philip to this man that he does not know, one crying in the wilderness, running after a chariot, and he meets this eunuch from nowhere. But I want you to notice the timing of the Lord. Not only does God see things that you and I don't see, but his timing is absolutely indescribable. When you think about God's timing, and we get so nervous and uptight when we don't see things the way we want to see them. I want you to notice when Philip approached him. At what time was it? He's in the midst of revival. Doesn't make sense for him to come out of that scene. He should keep preaching to see more people saved and healed. Wouldn't you think so? He sensed him in into a desert, a place of dryness. Nobody's, why would I go to a desert? And he sends him, and he's running after this chariot. He's running after this chariot. That speaks of some kind of speed. That speaks of some kind of passion, some kind of urgency. And he approaches him, and the Bible says he hears him. He hears him speaking out the scripture from Isaiah 53 at the time that the eunuch was questioning, what does this scripture mean? Talk about the timing of the Lord. Every second was calculated. Every action was predetermined. Everything was intentional. Nothing just happens in the economy of God. His timing, God doesn't design accidents. He designs purpose. Life lesson number one. Purpose. There's purpose for Philip to be there at that time, at that moment, in the middle of a desert. In the middle of a desert, Philip catches up to this eunuch and he's reading a text that doesn't make sense to him. Now, you might think that why would Philip want to leave a desert, go to a desert? Why would anybody want to leave something that's nice and comfortable or something that seems to be exactly what God wants? And but Philip had to obey. And there's another lesson here. You know, friends, sometimes when God is doing something and we see a lot of fruit and a lot of activity, and for sure we're saying within ourselves, this is God. We've got to stick around here. This looks great. Look what's happening. God is blessing. God's moving. And there's a voice that comes to you and says, I want you out, and I want you to go somewhere where there's not very much. I want you to leave that place. I want you to leave that oasis, and I want you to go to a desert. And there's your response. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're in the midst of an oasis and God is calling you to a desert? Life lesson number two, obedience. Obedience is so important, but obedience has another meaning to it when God calls you to a desert, when you're having a wonderful time in the trees, the lush valleys, and the fruit. It's much more difficult to obey. And that's why the Bible teaches us, friends, that we are called to walk by faith and not by sight, because so many times God will call you to do something that does not make sense whatsoever. And there's your opportunity to obey or disobey. What would you do if you were Philip? But I see something else very important, my friend. I see another principle that is equally as important, and maybe in some ways more important. God is sending one man to speak to one individual, and that one man had to leave many people to go and seek out that one man. To do what? To explain to him what he was reading. What? Yeah, to give him the interpretation of what he was reading. He left the mass to visit that one individual. Because the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? What did we say? What we see here, friends, is the importance of the spoken word. What we see here is the importance of one individual. What we see here is the importance of people needing to hear the word of God. For the Bible tells us that some plant, some water, but it's God who gives the increase. Some plant. Somebody's got to plant the word. Somebody's got to tell somebody. And somebody's got to water that word. But it's the Spirit that gives growth. It's the Spirit that enlarges the heart. It's the Spirit that gives increase. And now God is sending Philip to water something that's been in his heart that he doesn't understand. Ah, but there's another thing I see here. You know, brothers and sisters, there are people, some people who think that they don't need anybody. There are some people that I've encountered, many of them. Oh, pastor, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to hear. I'm going to do it all by myself. I'm going to study all by myself. I'm going to do all the research by myself. I don't need this. I don't need him. I'm going to stay right home. You know, they're spiritual lone rangers. Spiritual lone rangers who don't need anybody because they've got it all figured out and they're going to discover it all by themselves. And they disregard the Bible that tells us that he's given some pastors, some evangelists, some prophets, some for the edification of the church. He disregards the importance of being together with the body of believers to be instructed for the edification of the church. But I don't need that because I'm going to figure it out all by myself. Oh, my friends, I've heard that from many people over the years. Don't need God. Man, we can do it all by myself. I don't need anyone. I'm just going to figure it out. But here we see the very opposite. Notice verse number 30 and verse number 33. Philip runs towards this chariot. He's obeyed the voice of the Lord. This speaks of passion. He's running. And then here it comes, verse 35. And Philip opened his mouth. If Philip didn't open his mouth, we wouldn't be speaking about this morning. Philip opened his mouth. And I see another life lesson. I see a problem. I see the tragedy of the closed mouth. Yes, today I see there's a tragedy that's risen over the years. The tragedy of the closed mouth. I'm not talking about gossip. Oh, we don't have that tragedy. There seems to be a lot of that. I'm not talking about that problem. I'm talking about the problem of the closed mouth when it comes to the things of God. A bit too ashamed to declare Jesus in this world today. What are people going to think of me? What are people going to say? I'd rather be quiet and serve my God quietly in my corner and keep it all to myself. Let me say to you, my friend, if that was the mindset of the early church, we would not be here today. For the early church grew for one reason. They were edified and they took that edification and they evangelized. And friends, if we do not evangelize, I guarantee you one day we will fossilize. I can tell you that. He opened his mouth. He opened his mouth. And he began to speak to this man. The problem today of the closed mouth, and you've heard me say there's no such thing as a secret agent for God. They don't exist. There's never been secret agents. I've talked to many people from another denomination who tell me and have told me, even within my own family, we keep things quiet. We don't like to share too much. I keep it personal for me. Good. It's not biblical. That's not biblical. For I say to you, my friend, if God is alive in your heart and if he's real in your heart, you can't keep it inside of you. It's impossible. It's impossible. Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I posted on Instagram not too long ago something like this. Don't be ashamed to talk about God. Rather, be ashamed not to. Not to. For Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God. The power of God. To the Greek and to the Jew. The power of God. I'm not ashamed of this. This gospel's what saved me. This gospel's what healed me. I'm doing a bit of a study in the book of Proverbs and Facebook Live every day, even on Instagram. And we learned a few weeks ago about Proverbs chapter 11, the 30th verse. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is... There's no greater wisdom than someone who has a passion for the lost. There's no greater wisdom than someone who wins people to God. That's the ultimate and the epitome of wisdom, to fear God. And to fear God is to love God. And to love God is to love people enough to be able to declare His word. In this generation today in which we live in, and so the eunuch we discover is from a place called Ethiopia. Ethiopia is not the Ethiopia of today. The Bible speaks of the Cushites. They were fierce warriors from Ethiopia. And this man is a servant to the African queen called Candace. This is a dynasty of African queens, warriors who ruled, strong women ruled. And Candace was their queen, like the Amazons that we read about and watched and we've seen and heard about, the Amazon women, warriors. There's a lot of truth to this. And they ruled during this time. They were not Barbie dolls, my friends, believe me. They were powerful women, warriors. And there's an interesting story. I discovered this not too long ago, of one of these queens encountering the greatest general that ever lived. And most people will agree that Alexander the Great was the greatest general that ever lived. The greatest. Well, history tells us that the armies of Candace confronted Alexander the Great one day on an elephant. There were lots of elephants, and Alexander decided not to fight. We don't know why. Alexander never backed down from any fight. He conquered the world as a young man, did more in the shortest time ever, and conquered the world, but refused to fight this African queen for some reason. We don't know the reason why, but surely the fierceness and the power of these warriors might have had something to do with it. So the eunuch is a treasurer, an official under that government, under that mindset, with one of these queens, Candace, and she has called this man to be a treasurer. He has a great responsibility. And he is coming from Jerusalem. He's gone to worship, the Bible says. Now, obviously he has some kind of relationship with God. Just like many of us, we go to church, we might worship, but we don't have understanding. He's still searching. We're still worshiping. To some degree, we have some kind of relationship, but there's things still missing. We don't have the fullness. That's why Paul prayed to the Ephesians, "Oh God, open their eyes that they might see." Paul prays that they might understand, have a revelation knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. You'll be amazed how many people come to church. They have a relationship with church, but they don't have a relationship with God. You'll be amazed. Well, this man was on a quest. He's worshiping, but something was missing. Yes, he can lift up his hands, but something was missing. He might be able to say a few words, but something was missing. He went to Jerusalem to worship. He's been to the church, he's been to the temple. But watch this, folks. I see something powerful here. Wah, wah, wah. But the real breakthrough happened not in Jerusalem. The real breakthrough didn't happen in church. The real breakthrough didn't happen when he raised his hands to worship him. The real breakthrough took place on his journey. I want to stop here, pause, and I want to park my car for just a few moments, because there's something really powerful going to happen here. He experienced something not in the temple. He experienced something on the journey. Something happens on the journey. It's always about the journey. The destination is important, but it's the journey that interests God, I believe. It's the journey that we want to focus in on. Something always happens. It's something about the journey. Makes all the difference in the world. Do you remember Peter is on his way to the temple, and who does he meet? Right at the gate, just before, he meets a lame man. And on his journey towards the temple, a miracle takes place. Silver and gold have I not, but in the name of Jesus. Do you remember Jesus as he was on his way to Jairus' house? He's journeying towards Jairus' house. All of a sudden comes this woman with an issue of blood touching the hem of Jesus' garment. On the journey, a miracle took place. On the journey, God's power was revealed. Something about the journey. And this man is going to experience his breakthrough, not in the temple, not in the synagogue, not in church. He's going to experience his miracle while he's on a journey. Not in church, but in the desert. Not in church, but on his way to work. Not in church, but coming home from work. Not in church, but on your way taking the bus. Not in church, but going to the restaurant. Something about the journey is going to transform him. The journey. Do you know, friends, some of the greatest experiences you and I will ever experience in God will be outside of church? In the desert. Do you know how many people God has touched in the desert? In the desert of confusion, in the desert of ambiguity, in the desert of pain, in the desert of turmoil. In the desert. The greatest experiences, the journey. Did not the two disciples going to Emmaus as they left Jerusalem towards Emmaus, about 7 miles away from Jerusalem, did not Jesus appear to the two disciples going towards Emmaus on the journey? Jesus appeared to them not in Jerusalem. The journey. They were in the desert of doubt and disbelief, and Jesus appeared to them. We see something very, very similar here, my friends. Something happens in the desert that will not happen in the synagogue if your hearts are open. Not in church, but in the desert. That's what happens. There's something about the journey. And oh, if we can be sensitive. And oh, if we can just be sensitive as we're living day by day, as we go through the affairs of life. If we can just be sensitive. What does the Spirit, what is God saying? What is God doing? Am I hearing his voice? So important we understand that. You know, friends, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be sharing a few examples because this sermon leads itself for me to do that. This message has a lot, is tremendously important to me. I've once preached this before, completely turned it around this morning. But this message has a lot to do with me personally as far as what my convictions are. But I really believe it has a lot to say with what's going on today. And if you stay with me, you'll understand why. You know, it's that journey. It's in the desert. You know, some of the greatest miracles in my personal life, I've experienced and seen more miracles outside of church than in church. Oh yeah, you're a pastor. You're a pastor. What do you mean? Oh, I know that. It doesn't matter if I'm a pastor or not. I'm only speaking the truth. Some of the greatest miracles that I've seen, that I've experienced, was while I worked with my mother. 40 years ago, 35 years ago, when I worked with my mother in a mall. I've seen the greatest miracles. I've seen more people healed and saved in 1.5 to 2 years, day by day, as I was sharing the gospel with people while I was working. My little store became like a church. I prayed for people. People got healed, set free, and I'd bring these people that got saved to the synagogue, to the church. But you see, it wasn't a church to start with. It was my desert. It was my place on the journey of where God was bringing me to. It was there that I've seen His power. I got some information not the other day. I'm on Instagram, as some of you might know, and somebody followed me, and I looked at the name, and I was in shock. I was in shock, and this was a person that I met 35 years ago, that I met while I was working with my mother in Place Dupuis, that I met while I shared the gospel, and she gave her life to Christ, and she followed me, and I contacted her, and we had a chat. She goes, Dino, I just wanted to let you know that some of the things that have happened, those days were the great days. That's when I came to Christ, and she was able to tell me some things, and it brought back memories, and it just makes this sermon more alive for me, more powerful for me personally. How many people God was able to minister to outside of the confines of the temple or the synagogue, out there in the workplace, out there in the streets and the highways and the byways. Why do you think Jesus said that men ought to preach the gospel, to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Something stirred up within me as I remembered some of the things that God did in my life outside of Jerusalem. So many things. The point is, your faith needs to get out there. My faith needs to get out there, oh Christian friend. I don't know who I'm speaking to. Maybe there's a Philip that needs to hear this, who's been hanging around Samaria too long, who's been hanging around the church building too long, if you know what I mean. Get out there. Be the salt that God's called you to be. Salt is not effective unless it comes out of the shaker, to whatever you need to give flavor to. It cannot stay within the confines of Jerusalem. It's got to get out of the salt shaker. Get out! In our schools, at work, in the gyms. I know we're in COVID times and things aren't as easy, but there's still no excuses, because we haven't always lived in COVID, have we? And this will pass, my friend. Where we work, where we go to school, our families, our neighbors, the world is filled with opportunities and places that we can speak to, people we can speak to, places we can go to share the love of Christ. Philip is chasing this eunuch who has this hearsay relationship, if you will, and now he's about to have an encounter with God outside of Jerusalem that he can only dream of or pray about. There he is in the desert. The point is, God sent Philip to this man. It was intentional. I just can't seem to get over this. It was intentional. God literally transported. He sent this man. Jesus left the 99 to go and rescue the one. And there's somebody crying in the desert, and now Philip, who's a picture of Christ, if you will, and he now is being sent out of the 99, out of that place of revival, to go and rescue that one man in the desert who's hungry, who's thirsty. Nobody knew it but God. And there's Philip. And you know, friends, I don't know again who I'm speaking to this morning, but God might be sending a Philip to catch up with your chariot. Philip might be catching up to your chariot. Yeah. You're in a chariot in the desert somewhere. You're somewhere. You're searching. I don't know where you're at, but God might send a Philip to give you a word, to catch up to your workplace, to catch up to your personal prison, to catch up to that hospital bed that you're on, to catch up to that place of pain. Whatever is hindering you, whatever is bothering you, whatever is disturbing you, you don't understand something. But there's something inside of you that's hungry. There's something inside of you that's stirring, but you're still confused. Oh, my friends, this might be the moment that God sends Philip to catch up to your chariot. God has a word for you. if you're open to hear, if you've got eyes to see, God sees you, my friends, right where you're at. That's the amazing thing about this story. God saw the eunuch when he was in the desert. God sees you. A few weeks ago, I preached on Hagar when she was kicked out of her home by Sarah, by Abraham. Kicked out in the desert. And she cried out. And the angel appeared to her. And what did she say? El Roi, God sees me. El Roi, he sees you, he sees me. He sees this eunuch in the midst of a desert. And he sees you in your desert, my friend. And oh, this could be the day that Philip comes knocking upon your chariot door. Ah, but you see, you've got to open that chariot. You can't force yourself into that chariot. Can't do it. And he catches up to the chariot in the midst of the desert. God, my friend, I believe, yes, God is chasing your chariot through Philip. He's chasing your chariot through your confusion. Does not the Bible say, be careful how you entertain Philips? Be careful how you entertain strangers. To this man, the eunuch, Philip was a stranger. Philip is a stranger. Hebrews 13, be careful how you entertain strangers. For some of you have entertained strangers unaware. Unaware of what? That you've been entertaining angels. Here comes God's angel sent by God to this eunuch, and his name is Philip. Be careful who you meet on the road. Be careful who you meet in the streets. Be careful who you meet at home. Be careful who you meet at the bus stop. Be careful where you meet, wherever you are. Who knows? God might be catching up to your chariot. Who knows? God might be sending you a Philip. A Philip. And how you respond to Philip is so important. Will you open up your chariot? Will you hear what he has to say? You see, this eunuch is in the place of uncertainty. He's in the place of confusion. He doesn't understand what he's reading. And it is so important that he does, because if he understands it, it will change his life forever. His destiny is about to change, but he didn't even know it. How many times has God come to you in times that you're not even aware of? You just don't even know it. But the eunuch is about to have an encounter with God. My friends, nothing just happens. And I remember I had my own Philip come to see me one day in 1979. I was taking the bus, minding my own business, going for an interview for a film. But only God knew that deep inside of me I was searching. Like this eunuch, I never went to Jerusalem, but like the eunuch, I was searching. I didn't know how to do it, what to do, where to go, but God knew. And there I was, about to take the bus one ordinary Monday afternoon, no different than any other day. I'm going to step onto this bus filled with people, and out of nowhere this man approaches me with a track, gives me a track. And some of you know my story. Dear friend, Jesus Christ is coming soon on this track. It was just so random. It didn't make sense. I get on the bus. I didn't have time to read it. It's packed with people, filled with people. And I'm in Los Angeles here. You don't have an empty bus. And so finally I had to get off my bus stop. I get off my bus stop. There's always lots of people when you get off the bus stop, and there's always lots of people coming onto the bus. I got off the bus stop. Nobody got off with me, and nobody entered into the bus. Only one person got off the bus, and his name was David, and he's the one who gave me the track. That was my Philip. I met Philip on the chariot of the bus that I took. Be careful how you entertain strangers. I didn't know it at the time, but That day was the beginning of my encounter with God. You know, all of us have a place of uncertainty. Yes, all of us. You see, it wasn't at Jerusalem. It wasn't in the synagogue. It wasn't in the church. No, no. The eunuch was trying to figure it out on his journey. And he's in the desert. His journey in the desert. He just left Jerusalem. He didn't have it in Jerusalem. He's on his journey in the desert where it's dry. He's by himself with his horse. Nobody around him. And there he is in a place of obscurity in the desert. Maybe God will send you someone in your gym when it opens again. Maybe God will send you someone at work when you get back. Maybe someone will send you someone while you're going for a daily walk on the streets tomorrow. Maybe God will send you someone as you're picking up some food because you can't sit in a restaurant because you're not allowed, but somebody might be standing beside you. Oh yeah, socially distancing, but talking to you anyway. You don't know when that moment will come. You know, I remember I was sharing a lot of stories today, as I mentioned, because I feel I need to, so I can really explain to you exactly what I believe the Bible is saying today. Back in California, I'm saved, I'm a believer at this point, and I went to a little restaurant, it was a hamburger joint called Carl's Jr. Some of you out there might know Carl's Jr. If I have anybody from the States viewing this program today on Facebook or on Instagram, you've heard of Carl's Jr. Very popular hamburger place. Well, I decided I don't eat hamburgers too much, but back in the days I did. And I went for a hamburger. All I had was $5 in my pocket anyway. And so I figured I might as well have my last meal. And so there I was. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, just like the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Philip. Told him to go to Gaza, to go into the desert. And the Lord spoke to me, says, Dino, you see that young man right there in the corner? Right at the end of it. I almost ignored. I said, yeah, Lord, I kind of see him. Yeah, I had a feeling God was going to tell me to do something. I want you to go. And I use my biblical test. I want you to run after his chariot. I want you to speak to him because he's reading something that he doesn't understand. So I said, God, but I don't know what you want me to talk to him. There's a lot of people here. What are people going to think of me? Maybe he's going to think I'm crazy, Lord. You know, we all have a great excuse bag that we all carry, and we got a few excuse bags. I don't have a bag on me here. I like to carry my bag. It's called an excuse bag. We carry it. You know, I'm too young. I'm too old. What are people going to think? I'm not ready. The timing's not right. But look, and we all got excuse bags, don't we? And I had mine. Well, I had mine. I was just saved. Had lots of excuses. Dino, put your excuse bag down and go and speak to him. I've got a mission for you, and I need that man. He doesn't know it yet, but I've called him. What do you want me to say to him? Just tell him I love him. These were the words. I had no three-point sermon. I didn't know what they were. I didn't have a big scripture to give him. Didn't have the scripture. Just that I love him, and that will be enough. So I finally obeyed. Remember, the key is obeying. Philip obeyed. I finally obeyed. And I went up to this man, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and there was a terror on his face. Like something was strange. Something in the spirit realm was taking place. I wasn't really, because I was so young, I just basically got saved a few months at this point. He gets up and takes off. I didn't think I looked that bad, you know, like, wait a minute here. He takes off. And then, of course, back my excuse bag. Okay, God, I did my job. He left. So what do you want me? Go after him, Philip. Chase after his chariot, Philip. So I went after him. And I found him on the corner of Normandy and Fifth. If you want to Google it, go ahead. My wife did. We found it. Remember, we found it, honey? It's still there. It brought tears to my eyes because, you know, just to think that God can do something like that through a sinner like me, it's hard to grasp. So I followed this man. I'm running after him as Philip ran after the chariot. I looked at him. He looked at me and I said, I don't know who you are. I'm not trying to, but I just want you to know that God really loves you. And that was it. Like, the spirit, he fell on, he began to cry and he wept like a little child. I was able to connect with him. He was on a journey. And about 2 weeks prior to that, I was driving my car. I had a car at this point. I spent $250 on a Wildcat Buick, a 1960-something Buick. I don't know what, it was just a horrible car. But I'm driving this banged-up, rusted car. And I noticed in the corner of my eye, 2 weeks, Spanish Pentecostal Church. That's all I know. I didn't even know what Pentecostal was. Didn't even have a clue about anything. I wasn't even going to church at the time. Unlike the eunuch, I didn't go to Jerusalem. And I had no synagogue. But I remembered it for some reason. And I said, found out this man's name was Imundo. He was a young man. I forget whether he was from Nicaragua or someplace like that. I wasn't sure. But I brought him to the church. I just felt compelled to bring him to the church. Now watch this. This is why this story means. The pastor was about to have a baptismal service and took Mundo and talked to him, and eventually he got baptized. Now that becomes a very significant situation as we continue in my sermon. Folks, everything I'm sharing with you is right on. It's the truth. And it's so amazing when you look at these stories, how we see these stories in the Bible. See, these stories in the Bible are life lessons for all of us that all of us go through. These are not just historical accounts. These stories are realities that you and I can experience today. Yes, even through COVID. Maybe I could say especially through COVID. God sent me to this man. God might want to send you. You see, folks, maybe God has called you to be a Philip. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but that's for somebody today. And I got to pause for a moment because some of us are just too proud to have someone join us in our ride. Some of us are too proud to let anyone into our chariot. We like to live in a bubble. We like to think of ourselves as our own physicians and our own technicians. We like to think of ourselves as our own doctors, our own healers. We have no time for Philip to come and talk to us. I'm going to take care of it myself, and so I stay on the periphery. Oh, I might even be in church, but I stay in my own bubble. I don't let anybody really in because I can take care of myself. I don't need Philip. I don't need the pastor. I don't need the Sunday school teacher. I can figure it out all by myself. I've gone to Bible college. I can do it all on myself. I don't need Philip. I don't need him. I don't need her. My friends, that's a very dangerous place to be in. Very dangerous. And so Philip asks, can you understand what you're reading, sir? I know you've been to church. I know you're at the synagogue. I know you worship, but do you understand how many people still don't get it and they still might be worshiping God? My God, that's for somebody. The devil believes but trembles, the Bible says. Oh, we're going to go somewhere with this today. Understand? Do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch, in his humility, and there's the first life lesson. When it comes to this man, he says, "No, I don't." He's humble enough to admit it, and he's just come from church. Oh my! He's humble enough to admit it, and he's been worshiping the Lord. He's humble enough to admit it, and he's rich. He is the treasurer in the army of Candace, the queen. Treasurer. He's a big shot. He's a CEO. He's got a PhD. He's got some status. I don't need anyone. He could have said, I'm a treasurer. But no. That's a good thing. So Philip enters into the chariot. And what do I see? Opportunity. God has given two people an opportunity to respond. Two people have now a responsibility to respond. God has given an opportunity. Opportunities in the desert. Opportunities. Why didn't it happen in Jerusalem? Because this story is about the journey. What kind of journey are you on, my friend? Well, I know you go to church, but what kind of journey are you on? An opportunity rises. And sometimes when you're in a desert, when God offers opportunity, you see them as obstacles. But I got another O. They are not obstacles. They are opportunities. And if you have eyes to see, you will open the gate to your chariot and let Philip in. But if it's an obstacle, I've got no time for you, Philip. I'm on the queen's business. I don't need you. But an opportunity comes. Philip responds. He had to obey, leaving a revival meeting. And now the eunuch needs to also respond. And an opportunity comes. My friends, if you are a child of God, let me say to you that God will give you opportunities. God makes opportunity. Be careful that you don't see the desert as an obstacle. That could be an opportunity for God to do something in your life, for God to use you. And that's where COVID comes. I hear nothing but people complaining and murmuring, and I understand that. I've complained a little bit too. A little bit. I'm not looking at COVID as the worst thing that's ever happened to humanity. I'm trying to say, God, you've allowed this. So God, can you give me eyes to see what I can do despite this? Can you give me eyes to see? Is there something? Is there a eunuch I need to speak to? My God. My God. I don't know who that's for. Opportunity comes. I remember I was going to Place Dupuy working with my mom. 1980. Worked with my mom. We're talking a lot about this place that I worked, which I saw more miracles than I've ever seen anywhere in my entire life up to this point. And I'm on the 17th floor, and I know some of you have heard this story, but that's okay. You'll hear it again. I'm on the 17th floor. I'm at the top level, living with my parents at the time. My father was alive. Mother, all together. And there I was with my mother going to work. We had a store. And the elevator stops on the 9th floor, packed with people. It was packed. It's early in the morning. People going to work. And in comes this tall man, about 6'4". And he towers in there, and it's packed with people, and the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me. Oh, God, don't speak to me in an elevator, Lord. You can speak to me in church. That's nice and proper. We're all nice, comfortable in church. You can speak to me even in the restaurant. Okay, I can handle it. Don't speak to me in the elevator. People are nervous in elevator. You ever see people in elevators? They get some kind of phobia. Everybody got some phobia. They can't wait to get out. They're nervous. It's claustrophobic in some... Have me speak to somebody on an elevator, Lord. He'll think for sure I'm nuts. And what are people going to say anyway? And is he speak English? Does he speak French? Well, I'm living in Montreal, right? Speak to him. What can be said in a few seconds? And I don't even remember what I said. I just opened my mouth. I just opened my mouth. And then Philip opened his mouth, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth. Oh, the tragedy of the closed mouth. Then Philip opened his mouth, and I opened my mouth and just began to speak. I'm not sure what it was. But the time I got to the main floor, time to get out, we said, Ron Corey received Christ and a few years later became a board member of a church. And my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, at one point, he ended up going to their church. Can you imagine that? Opportunity versus obstacle. Opportunity versus obstacle. Philip and the eunuch. Revival and the desert. All these things and all these excuses and all these things that can add up to keep your mouth shut. But Philip didn't. It was not an accident, was it? It was intentional. God saw him. And so the eunuch now has a choice. Philip, you can get in my chariot. The eunuch has a choice. He can open the door or shut it. But he's desperate. And he's saying, I might be in charge of the treasury. I might have all these things going, but there's something inside of me that's crying out to God. You don't know the person that you're sitting beside, whether he's crying out to God or not. You don't know that person that you're working with, whether he needs God or not. You don't know that you're at the bus stop or you're taking... You don't know wherever God has you, that person you're beside. Is it possible, Lord, that I'm Philip today and that eunuch is that person I'm seeing face to face? But some of us don't want people to know what I'm going through. No, I don't want to disclose anything. I want to keep to myself. What will people think? I'm the governor. I'm the treasurer. You know, there's certain things that we like to keep in our hearts. We might be crying out at night. There might be tears streaming from our eyes. Some of us can't even sleep. I don't know who I'm saying. Some of you can't even sleep. The pain is so severe, you can't even sleep at night. But you're keeping it in. Oh yes, you go back to work on Monday and the smiles are big. Oh yes, they are huge. The smiles are there, but the pain is there even more. And we've done a great job in hiding our feelings, and we've done a great job in hiding what we really feel and what we're really going through. But we keep smiling through our pain, hoping that nobody sees it. Hoping that I can be left alone in my own desert, in my own little bubble, hiding. Oh, my friends, we don't like to let people know sometimes that certain things we keep inside. But my friend, it's time, and I have this word for somebody, it's time to open up your chariot, yeah? Yeah, it's time to put your pride away, because God's got a Philip that he wants to send to your chariot. And if you got a heart enough to open up that chariot, your life will change. And so Philip, he catches up with this eunuch, and he steps into the eunuch's uncertainty. He steps into the chariot of confusion. He steps into the chariot of ambiguity. He steps into the chariot of someone who's seeking and nobody seems to know it but him and God. And he steps into it. A door has opened. I didn't see it as an obstacle. I see it as an opportunity, and I'm stepping into that chariot. Yes, right in the middle of confusion, a breakthrough is about to take place. Right in the middle of that darkness and that dryness, a breakthrough is about to take place. I got to pause, because I've asked how many people are stuck. How many people on Facebook right now are stuck? in the middle of your desert, in the middle of confusion and pain, and you just come back from Jerusalem. You still don't have the answer. Valley of despair. Oh, my friends, I gotta ask again, where are the Phillips to help people see their need of God? Where are the Isaiahs? When he had an encounter with God in Isaiah chapter 6, the first thing he said, oh God, send me. Lord, send me. I got to tell somebody. I got to tell them of your power. Got to tell them of your grace. It reminds me of Jesus when he healed the leper. I believe it's in Mark chapter 1. I believe it's the 45th verse. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus heals this leper. He's ecstatic. He's overwhelmed. Jesus said, keep it. Don't share it. It's not my time. It isn't coming. And what did he do? He went and declared and went ablaze, the Bible says. Went ablaze to declare what God has done. He was on fire. You will be on fire when God touches your heart. You can't wait to find a eunuch riding on a chariot somewhere in a desert. My friend, whose name is Philip. Yeah, that's right. You can be sure of that. Where are the Philips today? We need them desperately. We need Philips. Yeah, we have enough people working behind the scenes, God bless them, but we need somebody to catch up to a chariot. Yes, we do. How many times has God sent Philip, but the chariot door was closed? How many times has God sent a Philip to you, my friend, but your pride has kept that door shut? My God. Yeah, that's right. Shut. Don't want to let somebody in. Why do you think Jesus said, I'm standing at the door, Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens up the chariot, if anybody hears my voice and opens up the door, and I will come in, I will sup. But you got to open up the door. You got to open up the door. You got to open up the door. So when Philip gets into the chariot, he's on board, something powerful happens. You see, everything was there. All the parts were there. The man's heart was right, but he needed somebody to speak to him. It's not a big thing. It's not a big thing. Just somebody to speak to him. And we got all kinds of excuses for the closed mouth. Well, you know my personality, Pastor. I'm more reserved. Sorry. Doesn't work that way. Well, Pastor, you know I'm a little bit timid. Sorry. God didn't say to Moses, I know you got a stuttering problem, Moses, but so stay home. He didn't say that. I'm still calling you. I'll help you out this time. I'll use Aaron, but I'm still calling you. Get over it. I got a job for you. Get over yourself. Sometimes when we call ourselves timid and shy, it's just reversed pride. Reverse pride. That's right. That's what it is. What will people think of me? What will people say? So I better keep quiet and shut my mouth. I don't want to stir up anything. This was a small thing. The man's heart was right, ready to come to Christ. But they can't hear without a preacher. Somehow in God's economy, I don't fully grasp it. You see, that's why he's called our workmanship. We are his work. We're working together. We are co-laborers with God. Some plant, some water. But God gives the increase. I don't know why that's the way it is. God needs Phillips for the eunuchs of this world. Because guess what? Mr. Eunuch can't get saved without a Mr. Philip. But it's a small thing because Mr. Eunuch is ready. Just need Philip to talk to him a little bit. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. But God. Not a big thing. All the ingredients are there. Passion, his heart, his willingness, his openness. That's what the Word of God says. The Bible says that. How can they hear without a preacher? Some plant, some water. Going to all the world. The Word of God is telling me I've got to share the gospel. This, lo, I am with you to the very end. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach. Jesus said, this is my... Stop trying to find some big ministry. I don't know who this is for. Stop trying to get known. Listen. You and I have been called for one reason, oh Christian friend, to be Philip to the eunuchs of this world. That's my calling. That's your calling. I don't care who you are, Philip. I don't care where you live, Philip. But there's a eunuch somewhere that needs you. And guess what? You're called the salt of the earth for that purpose. And you know what, Mr. Philip? Without you, Mr. Eunuch won't get saved. So get out of Samaria, get out of that comfort zone, and go into the desert because somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. It's just a little thing. It's the Word of God. How can a man cleanse his way without the Word of God, David said. I can't do it. It's not the Word of God, comma. It's the Word of God, period. What is God saying to me? What is His Word saying to me? You see, saying to me, the Word of God is my bread. It's my life. It's my bread for daily use. It's not cake for special occasion when I just feel like getting a little. It's bread. I gotta. What is the Word saying? That I've gotta stand firm in the promises. I gotta stop looking for signs and excuses and start looking for verses. And what does the verse say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Philip opened his mouth. If he would have closed his mouth, we would have never, ever, ever heard about this eunuch. Ever. I gotta close. My time is winding up here, but Philip enters the chariot and he now begins to explain the word. He happens to be on Isaiah 53. How apropos is that? This eunuch is reading Isaiah 53 of all the verses. There was no New Testament at the time. The New Testament wasn't written during the time of the... came later. Later. God... I don't... This God... sent. What? Now watch this. Do you want to get a little glimpse of the power of God? We just sang, there is power in the name of... Hey, listen, I tell you, power. God calls Philip out of a revival at a certain time. People are getting healed, saved, there's deliverances. At this time, right now, he calls him out, speaks to him by the Spirit, go to the desert, gives him power to run after a chariot. Catches up to the chariot. The Ethiopian doesn't even know he's there. And it just so happened that the Ethiopian is reading Isaiah 53, exactly the place that Philip needs to tell him about Jesus. Can somebody say hallelujah? If not, I don't know what's going to happen out there, but something powerful. And so Philip has it all ready. It's just been laid out. Somebody just has to say, that's Jesus. Mr. Eunuch, you're reading about Jesus. And so, now watch this. As they're on their journey, here's a journey again. You don't hear Mr. Philip saying, hey, Mr. Eunuch, now that you've given your heart, let's go back to Jerusalem and get baptized. They just so happen on this journey to find some water. just so happened. Just happened to be there. Just like Hagar just so happened to be in the desert when the angel appeared to her. Just so happened that they come to a body of water. There's some water. There's water in the... For where do you find water in the desert anyway? There's some water in the desert. And Mr. Eunuch might be saying, and I'm just speculating, you know, I read somewhere, I heard somewhere, I'm not sure, I know about John the Baptist, it seems Jesus got... I read that baptism is important. Because it was the eunuch that takes the initiative in the beginning. As they went on their way, there came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, water, there's water here. What do you want water for, Mr. Eunuch?" And of course, Philip takes the opportunity again. Yeah, right. Water means baptism, right? Good. That's true. I want everything God has for me, Philip. I see water here. I read that baptism is important. I need to go further. I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. I told you these baptisms, all this story, this is a very personal message for me. I don't want to put my excuse bag on myself, but this is very important to me, because all of these stories, something resonates with me, because I've had an experience with a eunuch, because I remember God once used me as a Philip, and I remember I was back in California. Again, on my journey, I was reading John 16. The eunuch was reading Isaiah 53, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and told me to go in the corner of Western and Wilshire and preach. I thought I lost my mind. I won't take too much time. I finally succumbed to that. Never preached to anybody. Never talked to anybody about the Lord at this time. And I went on the streets and I began to preach, and people were laughing at me and mocking. I went to the desert and I began to preach. People were laughing and mocking. And finally, this young man turns the corner. He's weeping. He's tearing. His name was Carlos. A Mexican young man, Spanish-speaking man, and began to speak to me, tears streaming down his eyes. He said, "I've been listening to you for the last half hour." Why am I saying that? He got saved just like Imundo did. Received Christ. And something, honestly, folks, I was brought to this story. I just was saved myself. I may have read it once. I'm not sure. But something stirred up, and I looked at him. Just met him. He just got saved. On the corner of Western and Wilshire. I said, "Would you like to be baptized?" "I got no church. I don't know of a church. What am I saying? There's no body of water anywhere. What am I saying?" And I just sat, and to my amazement, he said, "Yes." And so I took him to my little... I was going to say apartment, but I don't think it's an apartment, because I lived in a place from here to where that door is. I'm not kidding you. And that was my room. Maybe even, no, I was sitting, actually, it was from here. That was it. And I had a small little bathroom. There was a bathtub, but it wasn't a regular one. And that was it. And I brought him to my apartment, and I baptized him. And he was on his way. And the Lord has spoken to me since that encounter that God had called this man to the ministry. You don't know the people that you will encounter, my friend. You don't know their destiny, Mr. Philip. You don't know, Mr. Philip, what God wants to do through you to that person that seems he's in the place of obscurity. See why this story means a lot to me personally? Because it's this story that propelled me to do what God has called me to do, and what I believe God has called you to do, because all of us, my friend, have been called to be Philips in this world, because all of us, my friends, will encounter a eunuch at one point or another. And straight away, the Bible says he went and was baptized. The Bible says straight away he got baptized. Straight away. I love it. Oh my God, I know this is a season, my friends, of dryness. I know this is a season where things are very difficult and confused, red zone. Now we have a stay home. Tomorrow it's a go home. We're going through all kinds of things. How we respond to this desert is the key. Listen, my friends. Listen to me. Imagine if people fled from sin like they do from the coronavirus. My God. Imagine if people fled from sin like they do the coronavirus. We would have a nationwide revival today. My God. And so they went down. And Philip baptized him. I'm going to invite my wife to come forward. I want to close with a thought as we close. I want you to see this. Nadia, come here. Philip baptized the eunuch. Now, what is baptism? Of course, we know what it represents. Going down the water, the washing of sins, coming up a new person in Christ. But there's something I want to tackle. Just wait, praise team, for a few moments. There's something I want to tackle here that we don't talk much about when it comes to baptism, and that is what I'm going to show you. And so if I'm going to baptize Nadia's water here, I want you to know that there's a bending of the knee and there's going down. She bends her knee and I'm taking her down the water. Did you see that? Thank you, honey. So what does that mean? That means, listen. Baptism is a letting go. Baptism is saying, God, I want to deny myself. I'm letting everything go. My sins are washed. I'm giving my life to you. You're washing me. I'm letting go. I'm surrendering my life. You see, you can't bend unless you trust God. The person that's baptizing you, you've got to trust the person baptizing, and you got to obviously let go from your life. You've decided to give your life to God. What you're doing is you're saying, God, I'm no longer in control of my life. Lord, you are in control of my life. I'm letting go. I'm surrendering my bitterness. I'm surrendering my envy. I'm surrendering my jealousy. I'm surrendering my pride. I'm letting go. I'm letting go. I'm rising up a new person in Christ. Friends, we got to stop holding on. Let go. And we pray, thy will be done. Are you ready for this? Oh my God, when we pray, oh Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. For thy will to be done, my friend, your will has to be undone. Do you hear me today, friends? When we pray, oh God, thou art in heaven, hallelujah. Thy will be done. Well, we can't pray that if my will is still. My will has to be undone. You see, baptism is an undoing of your will. You're surrendering to God. I want all. That's what the eunuch did as Philip baptized him. I'm no longer in control. For you see, in order to receive God's kingdom, you have to let go of yours. In order to receive God's kingdom, you've got to let go of yours, Mr. Eunuch. Let go of the treasury. Let go of the pride. Let go of the self-reliance. Let go of the false pride. Let go. It's God's kingdom. For listen, God cannot fill us with himself because we are too full of ourselves at times. Let go. I believe God wants to do something powerful. He might bring you down in the waters of baptisms, but he's going to bring you up. He will raise you up. Rejoice not against me, mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise, and the Lord shall be a light unto me. God is still writing your story, my friend. So don't quit trying to steal the pen from his hands. Trust him. He's going to make a way for you. I got to ask, friends, what is God moving in your life? What is God moving in your life? What is God fixing in your life? What is God and who is God sending in your life? Do you have ears to hear? Do you have a heart that's open? Let Philip come. Let him open the gate. Let him in. For you see, Philip is a picture of God's love for you. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to touch you. Don't let COVID, don't let your desert blind you and make you hard. Stop trying to put God on your own schedule. It's the journey. Stop trying to put God in a box, because the best things that God will do in your life are not going to be on your schedule, but on the journey. Let him in. Maybe the journey for you is right now, my friend. Maybe the Philip that you need to hear is coming from my lips right now. Maybe you're the eunuch. And maybe for today, I'm the Philip. Open the chariot door. Let him in. This could be the greatest day of your life. We're going to pray in a few moments. Invite the praise team to come forward. I want every head bowed just for a moment out there in Facebook land. When I say head bowed, I just want to pray with you. That's all. I want to pray with you because I don't know who I'm speaking to. Obviously, I can't see you. You can see me. You heard me today. And maybe there's a eunuch out there. And when I speak of the eunuch, I don't speak physically. I'm speaking metaphorically. Who needs God? You're searching. You're on a quest. You're on a journey. You decided to watch Facebook today. You decided to watch on YouTube today for some reason. It just happened. Maybe you haven't been on Facebook before or on YouTube and you just so happen to be listening to me today. It's not by accident. God had this in mind before you turned on the switch. Stop hiding. Stop running. Open the gate. Let him in, friends. Listen. There's no other answer but God. If God is not enough for you, nothing will ever be enough. No person, no home, nothing will ever be enough if God is not enough. He's the answer, my friend. He's the answer to COVID. He's the answer for you in your desert, whatever it is. Let him in. We're going to worship, and I'm going to pray in just a few moments. But let's just worship the Lord. Before I pray, will you do it?
To see your
so you can use me. Give myself away. See, Philip obeyed. Not my will be done, but yours. He obeyed and he responded to God. God won't force you, but he'll send a Philip because he loves you. That's how much he loves you. Father, I pray for those this morning all over this land, here in Canada, the United States, and even the world, Lord. I know there's many that hear us in Europe, many overseas, other places. I don't know, Lord. There might be a few eunuchs out there spiritually who need God. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts today, that something would register deep inside of us. Maybe we've been reading the book of Isaiah and it wasn't clear, but today it's clear. Speak to our hearts, Lord. How much we need you. Help us to stop trying to figure things out all the time. Help us to stop putting ourselves in your place, thinking that we have it all together because of our ability, we can do this, and because of my sufficiency. But Lord, you are my sufficiency. You are my adequacy and my inadequacy. You are my ability in my inability. And I ask you to come into my heart, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. Wash me today. Wash me, Lord, and draw me close to you, like you did the eunuch, both physically and spiritually. Let this happen to me, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't normally do this, but if you've responded to this and you've asked Christ in your heart, and you've been touched, I want you to get in contact with me. You've got my website, even my Instagram at Pastor_Dino, and here at Logos Church. What is it again? Logoschurch.ca. Please get in touch with us. Get in touch with me. I want to speak to you. I really care. That's why I do this. Because I really care for you. I care about eternity and where you will spend, where I will spend eternity. Because we're just passing through, friends. We're on a journey. We're just passing through. So let's get on God's chariot, like Elijah did. And one day, the sound of the trumpet, the voice of God, shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, but we which are alive remain shall be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord. Praise God. God bless you, friend. We love you. Hope to see you again very soon. Bye for now.
Myself.